I'm Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management. Welcome to the Maximize Your Return on Life podcast. As an investment advisor, I guide clients to reflect upon their core values as they make major life decisions. I will be interviewing real people with real stories who have embraced this approach to achieve success. I hope their stories will inspire you to maximize your return on life. Today, I'm so excited to welcome Susan Hyman and Lori Bernstein. Fun fact, Susan, Lori, and I all went to Highland Park High School together. And another fun fact is that Lori and I participated in Penguins. I don't know, Susan, were you part of Penguins? No.
I did. Okay. The artsy things.
She was the artsy. I was Penguins. And for all you Highland Park High School listeners, you know what a prestigious club Penguins was. And for all you others out there, Penguins was a water ballet club. Lori was a star. She had a solo. I didn't, but I still practice. But maybe one day, Lori, I'll get that solo in water ballet, but I doubt it.
Well, and interestingly enough, I mean, when we were in Penguins, synchronized swimming wasn't a big thing. Now it's like an Olympic sport and everything else. We were way before the times.
Yeah, Lori might have made it there one day. Who knows? But I remember my parents sweating in the pool all the time coming to visit. But we're going to hear a beautiful thing today, how their friendship and their personal experiences led them to founding Senior Living Specialists in Chicago. They did this in 2020. And they're offering complimentary services, helping seniors navigate senior communities like independent living, assisted living, and memory care. And a lot of our listeners, I know, are finding themselves in that situation as we have aging parents, and having a resource like the two of you is going to be so, so beneficial.
Thank you, Sherry.
Every time I talk to either a client or a friend, we used to talk about our kids, then we talked about college. Now we're all talking about our aging parents. But Susan, I didn't even know this. You started your career as a stockbroker. So we have that in common. And your recent experiences caring for your aging father really connected you with different people in the senior living community. And I think we're going to hear your story. You're a certified dementia specialist, which I want to find out what that means and how you get that designation. Lori, was volunteering with seniors ever since she was a little girl. She's always been fascinated and in awe of seniors' life's experiences and earned a lot of wisdom in that. She is also a certified dementia practitioner or specialist. So did I miss anything, guys? Do you want to add anything before we start?
I think we're good. Lori also is a MSW. I don't know if you touched on that, but the journey is, it'll make people chuckle. It's really from our heart. You couldn't make any of this up. Lori and I go back 61 years to when we met on tricycles in Highland Park. Our friendship is more like sisters, and it was February of 2020. We're Jewish. It was at her father's shiva that she asked me, will you launch Chicago? And the first thing that pulled at my heartstrings was, of course, yes. What do I need to do? I'll do anything to help because of being my bestie. And then, need I say, February of 2020, COVID. And there I was with this business. Proud to share that our goal was to be aligned with the best of the best, and we are here. I will let Lori take a little bit about what brought her into this and the background of senior living specialists, and then we'll revert back to me.
Great.
So senior living specialists started some 17 years ago when the owner, who is out of Dallas, Paul Markowitz, who's all of 41 years old now, he was 22 years old in graduate school, and he went home to Dallas for Thanksgiving, saw something was amiss with his mother. Sure enough, she had young onset Alzheimer's, and that's how he began his journey of looking for communities for her first. And then he decided after graduate school to go back to Dallas and open up senior living specialists, trying to help families navigate the maze of finding senior living options, because it's very overwhelming. And I think he took his own personal experience, like we all kind of gotten in this to this because of our personal experiences. And then fast forward, our third friend from Highland Park, Lori Seaman Ferris, who was also in Penguins.
I remember Lori.
She was actually the head of the whole group. And she is in Houston, and she used Paul's services for her father, who had dementia. And then she started working with Paul in Houston to help families. And then she asked me to join her in Philadelphia, where I currently live. So I'm in Philadelphia part-time and Chicago part-time. And then I was lucky enough to have Susan join us. And now we have a team of five strong in Chicago. And we are just day after day, just trying to do good and to make the search just much easier and calmer.
Yeah, and I can imagine, Susan, starting right before COVID, it was a difficult time for people, especially those with aging parents trying to get help. I know facilities were really conservative. So how did you keep going with COVID starting?
So I knew nothing else but digging deep and finding resources, because people did not want to move their loved ones into communities. So what mm-hmm. we saw in the senior space is people staying put way too long. And then by the time they were willing to move them, their level of acuity was much higher. And they were looking at places that we would reference as the old-fashioned nursing homes. And there are so many communities these days that are anything but, that are vibrant, engaging, wonderful activities, whether it's art projects or chair yoga or speakers, anything to engage loved ones.
Yeah, and I think the issue I sometimes hear from my clients, they think it's home and nursing home and nothing in between.
Exactly.
Can you just kind of educate our listeners kind of the different types? I know there's independent and assisted, and kind of give us a little information on each of those.
Exactly. It's educating our families and loved ones as to the wonderful options that are available. Independent living would look like 2 to 3 meals provided for loved ones on a daily basis, weekly housekeeping, activities, entertainment, transportation services to local grocery stores or doctor's appointments within usually a 7 to 10 mile radius. They will also, for the most part, have scheduled services available where people could contract them on an as-needed basis in 15-minute increments. So it is a stepping stone for people leaving their big homes to enjoying life on a carefree basis. Next step beyond independent living would be assisted living. And the real difference between independent living with scheduled services and assisted living is when you have more needs, meaning that, for example, you can't schedule certain services. And in assisted living, you have the benefit of an RN in the community 24/7. Or if at 1 a.m. you need assistance walking to the bathroom, you just press a button and there's someone to accompany you. So you don't have to worry about the fear of falling, or the family doesn't have to worry about that. It gives them peace of mind knowing that their loved one is safe. Then beyond that, we have a niche that is a little bit more than just straight assisted living, which is termed assisted living with a shelter care license, which a lot of people don't even know what this is. And this is a higher level of acuity in assisted living. They might be able to handle a two-person assist, which most people think of as being skilled care. But we do have access to that. And then we also have memory care communities, which are designed with specially trained workers that know how to cue people, know activities specifically designed to slow the progression of the disease. So there are varying specialty communities depending on what the needs are of the loved ones.
And Susan was talking about the assisted living, independent living, and memory care that are all pay-for-fee service. So there is no buy-in. Sometimes there's usually a community fee, a nominal community fee, and then you pay monthly depending on what your needs are, your care needs and your rental. There is another model called the CCRC, which is Continuing Care Retirement Community. They're not building any new ones. I would say I haven't seen any being built since we started. And I probably would say probably 15 years out, they haven't built any new ones, but some people like to buy in to a community that offers independent living, assisted living, and memory care. So they put a large amount of money up front, and then it's kind of an insurance policy that as their care needs increase, they won't have to additionally pay, and they end up in skilled nursing. We see less and less people doing that model because waiting longer to get into senior living, and so they've kind of missed a little bit of the opportunity to enjoy all the wonderful things they have in the independent living parts of the community. And then by the time they get to the assisted living, it just doesn't feel the same. So a lot of people are opting for the model of fee for service.
Just to elaborate a little bit on that, the nice thing about it is it's not a forever decision in that it's a monthly rental. If for some reason, 6 months down the road, you decide you're not enamored or your needs are changed, you don't have that huge expenditure where you're going to be concerned about that. So the shift is more to the monthly rentals. I would agree. Absolutely. And there are even some of the CCRCs are changing their models to attract more people to a monthly rental option. Because I think, you know, as we all know, to fork over a huge sum of money can be a little bit
taxing.
Yeah. It's just another stressor, could be.
And what I often hear from my friends and clients is that they contact people like you too late. You know, all of a sudden they're in a panic situation. So can you kind of talk about who can benefit, when they should contact you in your process? Because I just feel sometimes they wake up and they're like, I need something for mom tomorrow.
Yes.
And when should they start to contact you?
Okay, so Sherry, that's a really, really excellent point. And Lori emphasizes, when I started this, making a plan. So what we want to do is empower our seniors to let them have a voice and to let their wishes be known and respected, as opposed to their children making the decision for them. So making a plan is worth its weight in gold before you need us. On the other hand, I seem to get a lot of crisis, very high level of acuity, complicated cases that come from neurologists that are very involved. So we can handle all different scenarios. We can handle those that are maybe 1 to 2 years out when they're just starting, they want information on what's available. And on the same token, if we need to act quickly with someone discharging from a rehab and they need placement within a couple of days, we've made it happen. We've made it happen within 24 hours. It was intense, right, Lori?
Absolutely. But I think similar to your business, to Sherry, to your clients, that you encourage them to make plan, you know, plan ahead, plan for their financial future. It goes along with the same thing with planning for what happens if, when something should change and something should shift, and maybe to be proactive about it as well.
Because the scenarios where you have countless, we could give you countless examples of mom's independent, totally high functioning, dad is the one we have to worry about. One fall can change the whole trajectory. And then we're focusing on mom and what her situation is looking like. So it's never too early to make a plan.
And can you kind of walk me through what it would look like? So is it usually the kids and the parents come to see you? You find out what they like or don't like? What kind of facility? Do you take them for a tour? What would the process be?
Very good question. The process usually comes from a loved one. Our referrals are from, they can come from anywhere. But oftentimes for me personally, it's doctors, geriatricians, neurologists that are in a crisis situation, but they will reach out to me via text and give me a phone number and a first name. And then we will initiate. Goal to self is within 15 minutes. I know it sounds crazy, but even if I personally am busy, to reach out to that family member and let them know, we've got your back. We've heard your inquiry. We want to acknowledge you. Even if we're busy, we'll call you back. We so badly want to connect and give them peace of mind that we've got them. And so when we do connect with them and schedule a phone conversation, we have a pretty intensive needs assessment that covers five distinct areas. We gather information, streamline that search, and with that information, we go into our database of 1,600 communities for the whole state of Illinois and streamline it based on physical needs, emotional needs, passions, geographic location, and of course, budget.
Are those the five that you just said?
Yes. Well, the first is housekeeping, just to get the basic family dynamics, where the loved ones live, who's going to be visiting them. Then we go into physical needs. Are they ambulatory? Do they need assistance with their ADLs? What are ADLs? Activities of daily living. Do they need help with showering, dressing, grooming? Do they use a walker? Do they need assistance with transfers, or are they independent? Then we go into emotional needs. Do they have a cognitive impairment issue? Do they have an Alzheimer's diagnosis? Are there hallucinations? Is there sundowning involved? Are there behaviors? All of these are our touch points that help us get information to streamline their search to help the family. The next area is passions. I'm an artist. I truly believe in the humanistic approach, meaning that oftentimes we'll have people call us and say, okay, if we could get mom physical therapy 6 days a week, she'll get so much better, so much faster. And then we have to re-educate and say, we are human beings. We are not machines. And as we get older, things take longer. And we believe in safety first, great care, activities, of course, good food, but connections. All of that goes into play with us coming up with the best fit for our families. So after passions, location. We want to be cognizant when people say to us, we'll drive an hour. That's great. We appreciate your efforts, but we know it's not sustainable. So we want to make it easy. We want to make it convenient so that the family member doesn't have to think twice if they want to go to a Once Upon a Bagel and grab a sandwich and run it over. And then the last piece is budget. We want to find out as much information as we can because we never want to overpromise and underdeliver. So is there long-term care insurance? Do they have a pension? What does their social security look like? All of those come into play because the question we get so often is, what does it cost?
I just want to say something about long-term care insurance, because people often will call and they say have very little money, and they'll tell me what they have. But then in the conversation, they also say, oh, I have, by the way, I have a long-term care insurance policy. That is, you know, sometimes can be gold for people. So they might not have the cash, but they could get someplace that has that really up their game because of that long-term care policy. So it's really a gift in a way, but it is considered an asset. So for communities, and as we're talking to people about their finances.
And I'm glad you mentioned the finances, because that's my business. And when I do financial plans for the kids, sometimes I say, you know, are your parents going to need help? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think as long as the kids are on the same page and they know, and they may want a certain place for their parents that may be a little bit above the parents' budget, but they might be able to kick in, you know, they have to plan their retirement taking into account that. And it's tricky. It's very tricky, but you know, we all want what's best for our parents.
But that's excellent to have that conversation before, because I do talk to adult children and they're like, I didn't realize I was going to have to help with my parents because they don't want them to go to a place that's Medicaid or whatever. And so they do step up and help, but it really, they didn't plan for it. So I think it's excellent that you're doing that planning before.
Yeah. And finances are important. So once they find a community, do you guys check in or how does that work? And it might be that they started at independent living and then they need to go to assisted. So how do you follow your clients through as they age?
So we follow them from the initial conversation to placement, post-placement. We're constantly keeping in touch with our clients. And our model, interestingly enough, the owner, Paul, shared with us is that we don't normally tour with people for a very important reason. That being that we have, over the years, gotten to know some of the management, the marketing people, et cetera, in the various communities. And if we walk in and we say, Jeff, good to see you, and he gives me a hug or whatever, then we get the family looking at us. What's going on here? We want to take ourselves out of the picture and pass the baton to the community. So all eyes are on them. We will, if need be, tour with a family if they need the support or if there isn't a loved one, a family member to tour. But we really want to have all eyes be on the community. We are constantly in contact after they tour. We give them a list of questions, whether it's independent, assisted, or memory care questions that are tailor-made specifically to help them have the tools that are in our toolbox now in their toolbox so they feel supported when they tour. And we touch base after they tour because we want to know their feedback and are in constant contact with them, even post-placement.
And I mentioned this in the introductory remarks, but this is a complimentary service for the families?
Yes. And we bring this up because we're 150% transparent, if there is such a thing. So when Lori asked me to launch Chicago and she said we're a complimentary service, I said, wait a minute. If we're a complimentary service, how do we get compensated? And what she shared with me was the truth. We get compensated if we make a referral to a community we have a relationship with. And when she shared that with me, I said, wait a minute, that sounds really fishy. And I will let Lori say her response.
What happens is we promise that we will refer to the community that's right for our clients, whether or not we work with them. And we don't even usually tell our clients whether we have a contract or not, because our philosophy is good begets good. But when we started, Susan and I, we were in our just turning 60 when we started. And we're like, at this point, we really just want to really have this service to do good. And so we do believe that good begets good. And so we promise that we'll help our client get to the best fit for them. And in doing so, it might not be a community that we work with, and that's okay because they'll tell their friends, their family. So that's how we work, but we are completely complimentary to our clients.
And you listeners can't see their faces, but I can just tell by the way they're explaining it that there's a lot of passion and they really care about their clients and they're going to do what's right. I would imagine you have some sticky situations where one spouse doesn't think they need the community, or you have the kids that are pushing and the parents don't. So how do you deal with situations like that?
They each differ, I would say, but that comes up very often. So oftentimes we work with the adult child, we go along, we find the place that they love for their parents and this and that, we're all set. And then they actually take their parents there and their parents dig their heels in and say, I'm not ready. So it depends. If they're safe at home, if they're okay at home, then we just kind of let it be their pace, and we just got, because unfortunately things usually happen at some point, something, right. something shifts because we're all getting older and things happen. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, sometimes if it's not safe for them to be home, which is often the case because there's cognitive impairment, there's behaviors, whatever, then we enlist help of doctors to help talk to the clients themselves. We all work together as a team to come up with a plan of the best way to do this. Susan, do you have any other feedback on that?
As Lori mentioned, we do have ancillary services that we can suggest to bring in to support the family. Or if there are family dynamics where people are on different pages, we encourage Zoom. So everyone is on the same page and we're not going in all these different directions. We do have telehealth professionals that we can refer to that have backgrounds, especially in dementia. We're seeing more and more and more cognitive impairment cases at much earlier ages, where physically people might be okay, but that cognitive piece is
difficult to manage.
So we believe in collaboration. And personally, every email that I send out, Lori is CC'd on it, because it's a check and balance system. Our new teammates, we are encouraging, again, that ceasing. And we believe in collaboration, because sometimes, as you know, the old cliche, it takes a village. It truly does. Mm-hmm. That dementia piece is real.
When you have a caregiver, one of the spouses is a caregiver of the other ones. We always say I worry as much about the caregiver as I do about the person who has whatever affliction it is, whether it's Parkinson's or dementia or whatever, because it takes a toll. And I've seen caregivers, meaning the spouses or the loved ones, that it takes such a toll on their health in the long run, and because they just keep going and going and going. And so that's often when we can talk to them, you know, about maybe it being time to make a change.
Yeah. And I've had several friends where it's exactly that. The caregiver, like you mentioned, Susan, broke a hip or fell, and now the other spouse, you know, the kids are there 24/7. They had no backstop. They had no plan. And even if they're not ready to pull the trigger, I would encourage my listeners to call you guys. We're going to put your website, your links, your contact information on our website for the podcast, but it's probably never too early to call. And the other thing I hear from clients and friends, parents, is they wish they would have done it sooner. The kids feel so much relief. The parent, they're by themselves often in their homes. They're big homes. And we had to clean out our mother-in-law's home. So I will just add for the listeners, my husband and I pretend we're moving, and we do not want to have our kids clean out our home, even though we're young. So we're pretending that we're moving and cleaning things up. So you guys have an amazing service. And I know a lot of our listeners, you know, we call this maximize your return on life. I think it would maximize the return on life of your parents and also of the kids, because, you know, peace of mind is what I offer on the financial side, but it's the emotional side that often these families do need peace of mind.
The other thing I want to add, Sherry, is that we're a little unique in that we avail ourselves 24/7. And as I mentioned, my personal goal is to respond within 15 minutes. And often my intakes will be an hour, hour and a half, gathering information. Reason being, I need to establish trust. And if I will take however long I need to for someone to know my heart and it's in the right place. And that's important. It's about relationships and establishing that trust that we've got you.
And I can just see the collaboration between the two of you. And I'm sure it's the same with your staff. And you know, I'm sure when a situation arises that one of you haven't seen, you have each other to bounce ideas and figure it out. So again, amazing. But how can you tell me a little bit about this certified dementia specialist? What is that? And how did you receive that designation?
So it's a course that we took. We actually all took it together to just give us further insight in working with those with cognitive impairment and tips and tools and things that just help people respond more appropriately. A lot of times it's difficult to deal with someone with cognitive impairment all day long, questions again and again and again, and there's ways to redirect. And so we learn tools on how to do those kinds of things and to make it a little less stressful for the person who has cognitive impairment as well as their caregivers.
That's great. And as you guys both mentioned, that, you know, I'm hearing it more and more among clients, friends, you know, that I don't know, people are living longer, but it seems that there has been more and more, and maybe there's more research out about it, but and it wasn't always identified in the past, but I do think there's things that can help and give families peace of mind. So I'm going to go to you, Susan. When you're not answering your phone every 15 minutes and calling people back, how do you maximize your return on life outside of helping what people maximize their return on life?
Well, that's an easy, easy, easy one. Thank you for asking me. My passion, in addition to seniors, is doing good. And I am proud to share I'm on the board of Project Hood, which was started by Pastor Corey Brooks, who is known as the rooftop pastor. Who is he? Internationally acclaimed for living on the roof in a dilapidated, defunct motel, protesting gun violence in the worst area of Chicago. And I go down there every couple of weeks and give back. I just finished last weekend our paint and sip, which was so fantastic. It was an intergenerational event where we did painting for Valentine's Day, and it was seniors and youth, and it was just fantastic.
And how did you get involved in the beginning? Did you know the pastor, or you just...
No, and actually through my son, who loves to give to charities, and he found this pastor as being larger than life, and he went down there and saw the groundbreaking of this community center that Pastor has raised $29 million for a community center of 80,000 square feet to give these people a purpose, whether it's the indoor swimming pool or the basketball court, but more importantly, it's to give them apprenticeship, to reentry back into life if they've been incarcerated, to give them second chances and make the impossible possible.
Yeah, isn't that the highest percentage of incarcerated people is in Lawndale? Yeah, yeah, good work. So you've got both ends there. You're really helping a lot of people, Susan.
She's a do-gooder all around.
Do-gooder. And how about you, Lori? How do you maximize your return on life?
Well, in terms of organizations, I'm involved with an organization that started in Philadelphia nearby where I live, in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. It's called Twilight Wish, and it's similar to Make-A-Wish, only it's for seniors who live under the poverty line, and they have wishes. And so they want to go see a sunset for the last time. They want to go to a baseball game. They need a wheelchair. They need a ramp. So it's needs and wants and things like that. And so I'm fortunate enough to be involved with that organization. It is based in Philly, but now it is national. So I'm trying to see if we can bring it to Chicago. So I'll keep you posted on that. Other than that, I live in the country, so I love to walk anywhere and everywhere. And I love to do yoga, and I love to cook.
Great, great. It's important to have those other passions. So Susan, can you give us the website if they want to contact you?
Yes, they could reach out directly. Susan at seniorlivingspecialistchicago.com. Our website is www.seniorlivingspecialistchicago.com. And the easiest way is to send an email directly to myself, and I will disperse it to the team, or send a text.
And we'll have all this on our website. But if our listeners, you want to maximize your return on life, please visit our website, rrcapital.com, and we can help you maximize your return on life. We have a 5-prong approach. We help you get organized financially, and that would include long-term care and things like that. We also really incorporate values as part of our process. And I think these two women really know their values and really incorporate in what they do. For work and outside of work. We also do full financial planning. We manage money, and then we continually monitor, update, and work with our clients. So I want to thank both of you. It was so good to see you. Lori, it's great to see you. I still remember the song, You Were in Penguins. And Susan, we've kept in touch through the years. This was great. And I know you guys are doing good. And there's a lot of people. But listeners, if you want to challenge Susan, call her. We'll see if she gets back to you in 15 minutes. I know she will. So take care. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Sherry.